Do you realize the gospel can be communicated to others only by persons who actually believe it? You also shall bear witness of me. These words were spoken to the disciples by the Lord Jesus Christ on that occasion when he was getting them ready to go on with their life and witness in the world after his departure. We're studying in the Gospel of John, and we are just now in chapter 15, and I'm going to be reading and studying the portion verses 20 to 27 in the latter part of that chapter. This particular portion of the Gospel of John reports to us what the Lord Jesus was saying as he was getting his disciples ready to carry on with their ministry and with their life and their witness and their testimony after his departure. And he has been saying a number of things to them, largely in connection with the coming of the Holy Spirit. And just now, in chapter 15, John chapter 15, verses 22-27, he is bringing out the fact that it's going to be their responsibility, it will be their function in the world, to tell the world about the truth that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants men to know about him. He wants men to be saved. To that end, he has sent the gospel into the world, and he has called men to preach and to teach it, that they might make known to other people what it is that God will actually do. And here he is preparing his disciples for their part in that, and he puts it in this way, that just as he was seen in the world, they are to tell about him in the world, so that people listening to the disciples will come to know what the Lord Jesus Christ has actually done for men. Because what the Lord Jesus Christ did while he was here upon earth, even his dying and his resurrection, was done on account of human beings. So now let us look in this portion, in John chapter 15, beginning to read at verse 20. And so we begin by reading this. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Here the Lord Jesus is reminding his disciples that they have no reason to expect better treatment from the world than he got. If the world rejected him, they would reject the disciples. And this is something that we all need to keep in mind. Because if you and I want to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ in our personal relationship with him, and faithful to him in our witnessing to the world, we can expect that the same world that rejected him will reject us. And they will reject us not because it's us personally, but because we are setting forth the things that he has set forth, because they're his material. Now, we know that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. We understand he came into the world for sinners to come to him. The Son of Man came to do what was necessary that would reconcile these sinners to God, and also he came to call the sinners to accept what he had prepared for them. And because that is true, the gospel is to be preached, and it's to be preached to all the world. And by the way, as long as we talk about it being preached to all the world, I expect none of us are too much concerned about the meaning of that, because that seemed pretty clear. That means we're to send foreign missionaries and home missionaries. We're in general to get out and tell the people in the world through the preaching and teaching of the gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ died for them. What we need to keep in mind is that this is what parents do in the home, and this is what people do in the community. And this is what teachers can do in school. What we need to keep in mind is that Christian people are bearing witness in every direction and needs to be done. Because human beings are not born into the world with faith. They're born into the world with the capacity to believe, but they need to be told. They need to hear the message. Paul writes about this in the book of Romans. In the 10th chapter and verses 13 to 14, this is very clearly put forth. Here we have, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, it's a wonderful truth and something you can keep in mind. But Paul goes on to say, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And one has to remember that even to this day. If you look round about you and you see people and you say, I think that person would be a wonderful thing if that person were a Christian. It'd be a wonderful thing if that person were trusting in God, and you may blame them for not trusting in God, but you probably should find out whether or not they ever heard the gospel. Did anybody tell them about it? Maybe they don't know God. Maybe the reason why they're not praying and the reason why they're not trusting in God is that they don't even know that that's supposed to happen. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's the way the Apostle Paul puts it, and that brings it right up to us so far as we are concerned. Preaching the gospel, you see, is much more than information. It's not just telling the world what happened. It includes an invitation to come. And actually, I'm not really preaching the gospel unless I have my hand out inviting the man to take my hand. Unless I'm reaching for people in the very way in which I do it, it isn't truly the gospel. It doesn't become the gospel until there's a pull in it, until there's actually an invitation to come and to turn to the Lord. Now, in this portion we are studying, the Lord is warning His disciples that they are to be His witnesses, they are to be His representatives. And just the way He was in the world calling men to Himself, His disciples are to go out telling about Him and call men to Him. And because they do this, they'll be talking about Him, they'll be mentioning that they believe in Him. And because they believe in Him, they will just naturally arouse some people's opposition. They are to be His witnesses, they will be identified with Him, and they will share either His acceptance or His rejection, whatever that may be. If people receive the Word of God, they'll think that the man preaching it is a wonderful friend. If they reject the Word of God, then they'll consider that the man preaching it is just really not to be accepted, not to be had in the house, that kind of thing. Now, this is true for the preacher. If the preacher will stand up and preach the truth, even among Christian people, others will be opposed to it. They'll even talk about being a fanatic and things of that nature. In the same way, it's true with a parent, that if a parent will actually stand out for what he thinks to be truly right with the children, in this day and time, there's many a parent will find out that he'll have boys or girls who will actually question him, and they will oppose him. They will actually come to practically hate him, and for no reason at all, except that he was holding before them the idea that true life is to be found only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. This kind of thing will happen with Sunday school teachers. If a person is a Sunday school teacher and just teaches the truth in the Sunday school lesson as if it was so much information, that's one thing. And chances are that person might get by without much trouble. But if the Sunday school teacher teaches as though you wanted the children to accept the Lord and you want them to turn to God, you can find that you will have opposition there. The same is true with church members. The same is true with neighbors. In verse 21, we see, all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me, which is as much as saying to the disciples, when the people reject you, it won't be you they're rejecting. It won't be because of you. It'll be because of what you're saying. This makes the rejection not personal, but actually spiritual, and it's inspired by an aversion to God himself. Now in verse 22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin, which is to say that one reason why they will resent you when you go to them with the gospel is that they have already turned down the gospel before that. And when you come with the gospel and they have to turn you down, they resent you doing that. And they are going to have to reject you openly now because they can't come. They hate to be brought out in the open as actually being shown that they really oppose the Lord. I find many times I think there are people in the church and staying around the church, sometimes even teaching in Sunday school, who don't really believe. They don't want you to ask them. They don't want to talk to you about it. They want you to accept them. They're in there with you and they're teaching the children or they're doing something around the Sunday school and they want you to leave them alone. You may well wonder whether they really know the Lord, and they may not know Him. And if you should venture to present the things of the Lord to such persons, you can find real resentment, real bitterness, as over against you. Now in verse 23, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. The person who is opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ is actually opposed to the whole idea of God being in human beings helping them. The attitude toward Jesus Christ is the attitude toward Almighty God. In our day and time, we see a vain attempt being made by some people who want to talk about coming to God but ignoring the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to come to God and just say, well, now, you don't have to come by way of Jesus Christ. You don't have to come by way of the cross. You can just worship God. And all we have to say to those people right away in this moment is, not the God of the Bible. You can't come to Him. The Lord Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. All that any man coming in any other way, the same as a thief and a robber. That's the way in which it's put. One reason why people will resent you, you'll see in verse 24. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. One of the reasons why they will resent you as you present the gospel is because the gospel has shown its power. The Lord Jesus has proven His purpose. The gospel in Christianity over the whole world has made a tremendous impression. And so in pagan lands, it has made a big difference to people. And so with individuals, personally, it has actually created a big difference. And this causes people to be resentful of it because it looks as though they're wrong in rejecting the gospel. They are. They don't like to be reminded of that. And if you come out with the gospel, all of that comes to their mind, and men will hate you because you're with the gospel which they've already rejected. In verse 25, this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Men reject the gospel for no good reason. In verse 26, you will find that the Holy Spirit will magnify His name. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast revealed the gospel to us, and we thank Thee for the people who in time past have witnessed to the Lord for us. Give us the grace ourselves to witness to the whole world that we belong to Thee. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.